Yeah, I'm Mike Bobbitt. I'm 58 years old, and I got in the EMS after Vietnam in 1972. I got my EMT certificate in Arkansas.
And I'm Leanne Bobbitt, and my EMS career started in 1996 EMT, and since then I've transitioned through paramedic, critical care paramedic, and registered nurse. So.
And then I got my, I worked in the military, was stationed up in the Pacific Northwest, and I got my paramedic in 1975. And one of the stories I tell my students, and I actually still have the book that came from DOT in 75, it came shrink-wrapped with not for publication stamped all over it, and all of the pictures in our paramedic book were hand-drawn. Mm-hmm. There were no colored pictures. And it was about 450 pages. Wow. That was our paramedic book in 1975. Mm-hmm. And
we started our career teaching together in 99, and from there we opened our own company. So for about a year, he was my boss. Then we opened our own company. I was his boss. We were EMS training. It was called Lone Star Public Safety Academy. And we ended up starting that company kind of on the spur because the company we were working for decided to do away with their program. And there was contracts that we had active contracts going. So we took those and we just continued doing our job. And we ran our own company for how many years?
Almost six.
And at that point, we were taken in by NCTI, which is the National College of Technical Instruction based out of California. It's part of American Medical Response Company. And again, we switched roles. He's now my boss again.
Yeah. And then I guess I'll pick back up around 75. I stayed in the military, and over the years, while I was in the military, I also was able to work for ambulance services. So I worked for Shepherd Ambulance in Seattle. I worked for Spokane Ambulance. I was hired in by Medical Service Incorporated out of Eugene, and whenever we took over Amarillo, then I worked there. Then I stayed, went to fly, got my commission in the Army, and then went to flight school. Then I was a medevac pilot. Until I retired in 98, retired with 27 years. I had about almost 1,000 hours combat time in Saudi Arabia, and then we've been teaching ever since. I was, started over at Texas A&M in Commerce here in Texas. We started the EMS program over there, ran it for several years, and then whenever the school decided they didn't like, they just were going to cut back on programs, we started Lone Star Public Safety Academy.
Sure. How have you found that having served in combat, how is that useful in everyday EMS?
In everyday EMS, it's very useful in that it makes you situational awareness. Mm-hmm. By being in actual combat, Vietnam, you know, even though the 91 war was rather short, I think your veterans have a little bit more situational awareness. They're more aware of what people are, how they're acting, their body posture, because they've been trained to watch for that. Mm-hmm. And some of the young people that go into EMT school, paramedic, and maybe they don't have any military service, sometimes aren't really aware of the situation that surrounds them. And so, I mean, it's helped me over the years.
It can help you use those skills and maybe try to teach them.
Yeah, students. Yeah, and teach them. And I've many times gone, did you not see that? And they said, see what? And then, you know, and even in school, we talk extensively about situational awareness, you know, being aware of what's around you. Mm-hmm. And then that's one of the ways we approach with National Registry is, you know, when they have to do their oral stations, they have to really kind of shut their eyes and be able to imagine 360 degrees around them, how they're going to, you know, give their oral station, you know, everything they see
sure.
by shutting their eyes. So I think that that helps a lot of that. And then some of the streets I've worked over the years were probably more dangerous than the actual combat
sure.
That I saw over the years. You know, been shot at mm-hmm. either, you know, by, as a combatant or and or on the civilian streets.
Right.
So.
Did you serve in the military?
Oh, no. No, but together what we do is we are part of the Texas State Guard. And so he still gets to play in the military just on a different level. And we're part of a medical response group, response within the state of Texas for hurricane disaster or any kind of disasters there. Do a lot of point of distribution, mm-hmm. A lot of shelter care. We go to once a year deploy to South Texas and do a clinic there for people who can't afford their care. So we still, mm-hmm. he's drugged me into it.
Yeah. Do you guys, as part of the special response team, ever go outside of the state for other disasters?
No. No, it's all within the state of Texas.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's volunteer. So if something yeah. comes up and we can't go because of class or, you know, our work schedule, we can say, hey, you know, I can't go now, but I can be there Saturday.
Sure.
Right.
And I can participate for 4 days.
You can't tell the difference between us and active duty Army other than maybe a name tag or something. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, it's the same uniform, same military bearing, haircuts,
sure.
and the whole thing. And that's one thing. we've been married 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
6 years. And having the same career line, I guess we've been fortunate because, you know, it's worked out for us. We're able to maintain friends outside of EMS, which a lot of EMS personnel have a hard time doing.
What's it like working together? I mean, do you work together in the back of the ambulance?
Yeah, we've worked.
We have.
Yeah, we've worked on. No, I generally.
He knows I'm right.
Yeah, I know she's right. So, but no, we've. You know, whenever they let us run double medic trucks, we just flip patients and
mm-hmm. we're really a lot alike, but we're so much different too, and we realize that because he sees huge big pictures,
mm-hmm.
And I'm the typical female Virgo. I see little stuff, and so I've learned in our time of marriage here that he can get excited about something's going to happen 2 years from now, and I have to back off and not get excited about it because my time will come that I can pick it apart and do the detail work on it. So
and that's what's helped us be successful mm-hmm. with our, I mean, you know, we probably teach 200 to 300 students a year
mm-hmm.
With the classes that we do. And my ability to look at the big picture and long-range planning and her nitpicking it.
That's okay.
Keeps everything straight.
Right. That's okay. It's my job.
Because I have a tendency to be the typical Taurus and, you know, knock things over and say, well, I'll get that later when it probably needs to be cleaned up right now.
Right.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what would you guys tell a new student? What's something that's just really important to keep in mind?
To keep in mind, I would tell them that they've got to be able to stop, critical think, be able to analyze the situation. Being a student in EMS is not memorizing a sentence and taking a test. You've got to be able to pull the whole thing together to answer.
Mm-hmm.
So many times we have, you know, students that have a difficult time with the test because they can't get past that. You know, in high school, sometimes they may have been fed a lot of stuff because we did a lot of high school EMT programs as well. And so I would just say, you know, get ready to buckle down and learn how to study.
And then one thing we try to also remind them is that they are the patient's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for the patient, they wouldn't have a job. And many of them want to go in for the driving fast and the siren and the impression they get off of TV. And we see them a few months later and they're going, I didn't know that would be this bad about three or four or five cardiac arrests and nobody makes it. Mm-hmm. And we told them, I said, we told you that, you know. And or they'll say, I'm just really getting tired of this. I said, well, remember, you're the patient advocate.
Right.
And it's not your emergency, you know, it's the patient's emergency.
That's a great piece of advice, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and we tell them that pretty regularly. Because if it wasn't for the patients out there or the people that needed us, then we would have to be doing something. I got to be Walmart greeter or something, mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Sure.
We've seen a huge transition of students since 9/11. Mm-hmm. Students who kind of knew what EMS was, mm-hmm. And they knew the approach, how they wanted to achieve that goal. 911 brought about new students,
right,
that had no idea. They just knew, they saw it, they want to do that,
right,
they want to help. And so we lived through that transition, and now with the economy, we're back to the same square one with students who are changing careers,
mm-hmm.
and students that have no idea what an EMT does, but they're coming to class. And so we have to teach them from the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
this is what you're seeking.
Right.
This is what's happening here. So we got some big challenges out there, especially with the economy.
Sounds like it's
getting jobs.
Like you teaching people will be.
Got to get them jobs.
Yeah. And then, you know, and it's good, too, that, you know, with an organization, you know, National College of Technical Construction, also with a partnership that we're just a business unit of American Medical Response,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, a very good organization. It's nationwide. We teach everyone that will come through the door, but we have the opportunities to help people get that first step,
sure,
with American Medical Response or, you know, dispatching and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it gives us a lot of opportunities.
Great. Anything else?
I think that's
other
it.
Than good conference.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Thank you very much for
okay.
taking the time to speak with
thank
us.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
appreciate
and we
it.
Love using FizzDat.
Yeah, I got that on tape.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FizzDat with support from emsresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.